Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, and a huge welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn Wardner, and I'm so happy to be bringing you this episode. This next hour and a bit of conversation is what happens when two people who are normally on opposite sides of the world see each other for the first time in a year and communicate via a means other than text. My guest is, of course, Lindsay Kelk, the best-selling author. Her series of I Heart books and also her current release, One in a Million, are frequently at the top of the book charts. She is also one half of the brilliant beauty podcast Full Coverage, based out of LA with fellow Brit Harriet Hadfield, who is a makeup artist and also an excellent human being. And Lindsay is just the best, and I can't say enough lovely things about her. What you are about to experience is what happened not only when we were, you know, seeing each other for the first time in a long while, but also what happens when two women are quite delirious in the ongoing heat wave in London. It was a very, very hot day, and even we at the end of it looked at each other and said, well, that was weird. So buckle up. Hold tight. It's a white knuckle ride of conversation. I'm going to direct you in the show notes to everything that Lindsay does, obviously, including all of her books, which are available in good high street bookstores or online book retailers. I'm going to put the links in the show notes to Full Coverage. If you aren't already, I really highly recommend you join the Full Coverage Facebook group on Facebook. Only after you've joined the Emma Gunn Show forum on Facebook, obviously. The link to that will be in the show notes too. But all the resources to Lindsay will be in the show notes on Apple Podcasts, Acast, or wherever it is that you might be streaming, downloading, and subscribing to this podcast. That's all I'm going to say about the conversation, because if I try and summarize it, I might think it's bonkers, but you might. So I would just say, go with it, friends. Go with it. If you listen to the Ruth Crilly episode a little while, you know exactly what you're in for. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope that you enjoy this episode. And do let me know by emailing me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com. Slide into DMs on social, where I'm at Emma Gunns. And let me know what you thought of the show. And obviously, you can also do that wherever you download by clicking 5 stars and writing a little review. Here she is, Lindsay Kelk on The Emma Gunn Show. Back by popular demand.
Woo!
It's Lindsay Kelk.
Oh my God!
I'm giddy. And I do believe strongly and emotionally powerfully in the power of audio. But I do feel sad that we didn't, for the first time ever, I think, I was sad that I wasn't being followed by a reality TV crew. Because I think our reunion in the street,
it was beautiful. I thought it was special.
It was.
I thought it was really special.
Because listeners, you know, we are family, pod family. Yeah. And we communicate almost exclusively via WhatsApp whilst mm-hmm. Lindsay is in LA. And I am in...
And Instagram direct message and Twitter and all email. Everything, yeah.
And so this is a delight because we're actually in the same room.
Eye to eye. No, not
We have just spoken non-stop for 90 minutes.
I kept looking at the clock and it kept going past. And I was like, oh, look, time keeps passing. Like, what's that all about?
I was not expecting this.
You know, just got a lot to say.
I know. Well, we had conversations. We've just been talking about crocodiles.
Yes. And how they hold the key to eternal living. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know this.
According to an Uber driver that I had, whose name was Jeffrey, and he had yellow hair, and he was very charming, but his mum was a zookeeper. And I don't know if anyone wants to know. And someone's going to write into you and say, this is actual not true.
I will take on that dialogue.
But yeah, he told me that they don't, that crocodiles, alligators don't actually age and die like other creatures, because they just keep eating and growing and sustaining until they can't sustain their being anymore, because they're too big or they've gotten too big for their ecosystem, and then they die.
They just expire.
Yeah, they just expire.
Well, my question to you is, could you, if you felt so inclined, buy a crocodile, a baby crocodile, for example, and just hatch a plan to breed and grow the biggest living crocodile?
I mean,
then use it as a weapon.
What you've done there, you've appealed to my competitive side, mm-hmm. Because now I want to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm also petrified of crocodiles and alligators. And I always have been, and never really known why.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's just from Live and Let Die, the James Bond film. Like, that was my first awareness of them. I've just always been convinced
what
that...
What happens in that?
He has to, like, jump over some. It's in New Orleans. I love New Orleans. It's set in New Orleans.
I must go.
Oh, it'd be so good. That's next hashtag PodFam adventure excursion.
After the Hawaii one.
But yeah, he has to, like, jump over them, and he stands on their heads, and it's quite larks. But I've just always been convinced that it's one of the animals that would just, like, it'd have you for the sake of having you.
Oh, yeah, there's no rhyme or reason. It's just I can get to you chomp.
Yeah, and they're massive. They're massive. Mm. They're so huge. Have you seen those videos where one, like, takes on a hippo?
I do sometimes get lost in a YouTube wormhole mm-hmm. of, and it's usually after a good, like, couple of hours of watching makeup tutorials.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, like, bottles of wine.
No. Oh, that too. But it'll be like Nadine, Sam, Nick, Caroline. And then all of a sudden it's like, I wonder if there's any footage of the largest living anaconda fighting with a crocodile. And you know what? You do tend to find something.
Yeah,
maybe not exactly what you're after.
I know it was a tangent, but it's really thrown me.
Also, they're cannibals.
Yes, they eat each other.
Yeah.
That's another reason why they die, strangely enough, when they've been eaten by the other one.
Like, I thought
highest cause of death is death.
Yes. No, I thought you meant crocodiles. If you eat another crocodile, Mother Nature goes, nah, you swine, you're dead. But just...
That maybe. I don't know. I've never asked one. I don't think so. They just eat each other, don't they?
Enough.
They don't care.
No, they're awful, awful things.
Yeah.
I never want to see one.
But I am looking forward to the first brand that brings out, like, a neck cream using stem cells from crocodiles. Because it's bound to happen after this, isn't it? Someone's listening to this and they're going, lads, get down the lab.
Okay,
get me a crocodile, make it snappy.
Which brand?
I'm sorry, I had to do it. I'm so sorry, turn it off now. I'm so sorry.
I will not.
It wrote itself.
It did write itself.
Oh,
you are a writer, obviously.
I'm a writer.
We haven't even had any booze yet.
No, I know.
She said proudly.
Shame.
I know, I came up with that sober. which brand do you think would be the first brand to come
Glam
up
Glow.
With?
I don't know why, that just immediately was like,
they'd swap glitter for crocodile scales.
Yeah, crocodile scales. I don't know, or like Rhodiol maybe.
Oh yeah, well they've already got,
got
dragon's blood.
/ crocodile neck. Makes perfect sense. La Mer, they're already in the ocean. So,
are they in the ocean?
I mean, La Mer.
Oh yeah, but crocodiles, aren't they more like...
They're saltwater ones.
There's
different
ones.
There's different kinds.
There was a shark in Cornwall yesterday, quite
really?
A big one. Yeah, there was footage on Twitter.
What's he doing there on his holidays?
I don't know. I've watched a fisherman say very vehemently into a camera before, I looked it in the eyes and it was a great white, and he was from Cornwall.
Wasn't, was it?
But it just makes me think, well... It just made me think, it happened in Jaws 2, The Revenge.
Yeah, that's true.
No. What was the Jaws 4, the one with Michael Caine and the Bahamas, where the great white went into waters much warmer than it could actually
I'm much
live
more
in.
Familiar with the Sharknado franchise than anything after Jaws 1, to be honest.
I've just seen the poster for the last ever Sharknado, and I think it's
I'm
called,
excited
like,
about it.
The last one.
Yeah. Because it's like a dystopic future, right? A dystopian future where the sharks have taken over.
Oh, I so don't like Planet of the Apes.
But sharks.
Because I haven't really stayed abreast of
Have you
Sharknado.
Seen the first one?
No, I'll tell you what...
Because then you're good.
No. I mean, there's a tornado and there are sharks yeah. in it because it yeah. manifests over the ocean.
And Tara Reid, and that's really all you need to know.
So the last thing I think I saw, and I think I must have... it was when I had insomnia and I would watch movies in the middle of the night. I think did Tara Reid not give birth in the stomach of a shark... In the last one.
Did this happen or is this Emma Gunn's fever dream?
Maybe.
No,
did she give birth in the stomach of a shark that had eaten her? And did Ian Ziering then realise she was in the body of the dead shark, cut her out, and when she emerged, she had pants on?
Excellent pronunciation, and I believe that, yes, you're correct.
That's coconuts.
I'd like to know how much cocaine the person was on that wrote that. And secondly, that's creativity I could never even dream of.
Because on the surface, Lindsay, it's flawed.
It's flawed, but is it? Oh, yeah, it is. But or is it just like that good that it's genius we can't even comprehend? I've got a bit
like
of a love
room?
For B movies. Yes, The Room is one of my favourite movies of all time. But I do love all those terrible, like, mega shark versus...
Oh.
Mecha Octopus or whatever. I love all those movies. Because I can't conceive of it. I can't conceive of it, so I love it.
I am so excited about a movie that I don't believe now is coming out until next year. The Meg.
No, I've seen posters for it. I've seen big billboards for it. It's out soon.
I saw a trailer for it on Tuesday night when I was in the D-Box.
I've seen
which
a, I saw a billboard.
D-Box. Well, it's 4DX.
Okay.
I think they call it 4DX in the States.
Yes.
But over in my local cinema, they call it D-Box. And I'm like...
That's a bit funny.
D-Box. But it's where the seats vibrate, which makes it even funnier.
I'm scared of
but
it.
But I saw a trailer for The Meg on Tuesday night,
I don't
night
know
and
if
squealed.
I... Because I'm going to be terribly jet-set, I don't know if I saw the billboards here or in the States. But I've seen billboards recently. Just drop that in. I don't know if it was here or in LA.
Yeah, so for context, Lucy, is it Lucy?
Who's Lucy?
Great.
Oh, my God.
Gee, what is wrong with me at the moment?
We haven't had a drink.
I've just been saying to Lindsay, who is my guest on the show. Did I even introduce you?
No.
I'll do it in the preamble. I was saying something's not been right with me, and we were talking about how it might be the fault of the moon.
Yeah.
And I said, well, something's not right because I keep fluffing up my words, which as somebody, I recorded a podcast this morning. It was a 26 Habits one. Yeah. So it was just me talking to the mic. I made so many balls ups.
Oh,
like, I know how to do this. What's wrong?
I understand all of the planets are in retrograde. I'm not super,
super
astrology. I'll take a peek. I'm vaguely interested. You know, I'm like, oh, okay. I'd love to blame something for my problems. Fantastic. Mm. So I'll take a peek. I don't mind having a little look. And my friend is super, super into it. And worryingly, everything she said to me, I was like, oh, no, but that is happening right now with my life. But apparently, just like everything's in retrograde, like all of the planets, everything.
I know there's some stuff going down. And I said to you last night, I was walking home from dinner and the moon was shockingly large and red.
Yeah, blood moon.
Yeah, and not full.
It's all got a bit Teen Wolf.
I just can't watch the last six episodes because now Style's not in it. I can't do it.
It's heartbreaking.
I'm sorry that you've had to live through Teen Wolf twice.
Three times because my partner was working on it and then I watched it and now you're watching it.
So what's happened is recently I started watching Teen Wolf on Netflix and there were seven series?
Six.
And I started watching it and then dropped into conversation on one of our many WhatsApps. Mm. Oh, I've just started watching Teen Wolf. And then you said, oh, I have experience of Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
And so every time something happens, And I'd be like, Lindsay, what was she like in real life? It seems weird that she got written out. Did she decide that she was too big for the franchise? Yeah. Literally. So, yeah, you've had to...
It's been good for me, though, because that is a very seldom used string to my bow, is my insider team warp knowledge. It's rarely useful, so it's been nice for me. Thank you for letting me exercise that.
Been able to help you flex that muscle.
If anyone's got any questions, do write in, and I'll tell you off the record.
Also, if you like me, and I believe like you, gave a substantial amount of hours of your life to it, and managed to get through the dread doctors, and then realised that as soon as Styles was gone, you just couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
And you haven't finished it, even though they're all there to be watched. Please do write in, because I just, now that he's gone, I just...
I felt like the end of the first part of season six anyway was a really good ending, so I was fine with that.
Yes.
I just called it a day.
Yeah, I don't know why they came back. It must have been... There was
it's because they have 6A
reason.
And 6B, and that was the end of 6A, and then they still had to do 6B.
Oh, that's what
they... That's how it airs in the States. It airs in two chunks.
Every franchise?
Yeah, it was... but Teen Wolf, it was 5A, 5B, and 4A, but so it was split into two sections, so it aired as sort of two mini-seasons rather than one whole long season.
Oh, the only experience I've had of that happening before is Suits, but I thought that was because Megan
USA
left.
Do that a lot with most of their shows. I love telly! I don't work in telly, I don't write for telly.
If you did...
But I do know a lot about telly.
If you did work in television, what TV programme would you create?
Oh, I don't know. I would want to have a really awesome rom-com, funny group of friends, goodness, yay thing. That's my pitch. That's what Netflix, if you're listening.
Bought it!
Yeah, I really love... So my favourite show on TV probably right now is The Good Place.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, and I love it so much because it makes me so happy for 22 straight minutes every week. It's a reliable, dependable,
joyous... How good is Jamila Jamil, by the way?
Oh, so good. She's my favourite. I'm deeply in love with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have done a little light stalk around LA, but I feel like we'll be best friends within 6 months. I'm bringing her into the pod fam. But I think she's fantastic. And she's fantastic in the show. But everything about that show is just like solid, legitimate happiness.
Mm.
And I would love to work on something that was so solidly good.
Legitimately happy and pure.
Yeah.
Would you ever do a reality show?
I would only appear as the newest cast member of Vanderpump Rules.
Would you
it.
Be a server or a hostess?
I don't know. I like to think I'd come in as like Lisa's friend. And then
Lindsay's just... going to be joining me for lunch.
Yeah, I'd maybe...
Could you get some goat balls?
I could be Jiggy's handler. Balls. The goat cheese balls. Goat cheese balls are excellent. Be Jiggy's handler. I'm going to join it as Jiggy's dresser. That's going to be my job on Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, I worry for Jiggy. I think they should get him cloned.
I'm almost certain that they have. I do not. I'm sure they have. Barbara, Barbara Streisand's cloned her dogs. Was it her that said she'd cloned her dogs?
I mean, when you're Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, you'd have a few made just in case.
If you just, it's just the things that when you've got money, there are things that you didn't know
like
that you could do.
You know, have you ever bought a pair of shoes or like a dress or something, you've loved it so much that you think, I wish I'd gone and bought the same thing twice when I bought it and got a backup because I love it that much. I feel like that's what she's doing with her dogs.
Ah, but I've done that with shoes and clothes and each one, the cut is ever so slightly different. It's not like buying twins.
I've done it too, and because I'm a monster. I've done it with makeup a million times. I'm like, oh, I love this lipstick so much, and what if they stop making it, so I'm going to get two. And then I just, by the time I've got to the end of the first one or it's reached the end of its life, I'm like, there's new things now.
Well, I found my signature...
a massive waste of money.
I found my signature lipstick for the first time in my entire life the other day. I'm not actually
so
wearing
pleased
it today.
For you.
It's in my handbag. But I need to go and buy more.
Ooh.
But this is something that comes up in your Facebook group, which is the Full Coverage Podcast Facebook group.
Yes.
You've got over 2,000 members in that group.
I know, that happened very recently. That's very exciting.
Full Coverage Podcast.
Cheeky plug.
Well, I'm having you on the show. You're not really being cheeky.
Slide it in.
And I will put no links to Lindsay in the show notes. And I will also asking you to forget that you heard her.
Only be linking to Crocodile Farms and the Meg.
Crocodile Farms, Crocodile Memes.
Yeah.
And the like. Yes. So your Facebook group is amazing. And
they're incredible.
Every now and again will jump in and then text you and say, I'm sorry, am I stepping on your toes?
No, it's amazing. They love it. Everyone loves it. It's the best. They're the nicest group of people. It's so cool.
And I love the fact that Caroline and Nadine are members, because they're members of the Emma Gunn Show forum as well. They sometimes just rock up and just, particularly Caroline, just like mic drop and leave. But someone put a post in there the other day, and it was about, I won't go into the details, but because if you want to join, you have to click the link in the show notes and I'll approve you. But basically it was like life decision, and she was sort of suggesting something, you know, my boyfriend wouldn't do this. And Caroline just came in and went, bin him.
Sometimes you just need Caroline around. You need her for that.
She's very good on text.
Yes, yes. And in the Facebook group, I mean, she's a queen to my people. She is like, I like to think I'm like a junior minister who's sort of keeping an eye on the country, and Caroline just comes in and drops a decree and everyone's like, oh my God, she's incredible. And they're not wrong.
She's so right.
She's quite right. There's deep love for Caroline in that Facebook group.
Totally. And I saw there was a post this morning that there quite a few of them are now beauty pen pals.
Yes.
So they send each other
join parcels. Our Facebook group and people will like send you stuff.
Well, we will do eventually.
Yeah, I mean, not like literally, that's not what happens. You have to make
friends
a friend
with people,
and you have to send stuff to them, and then they say, it's not a pyramid scheme, it's just like sharing sheet masks.
What's the difference between a pyramid scheme and a Ponzi scheme, or are they the same thing?
I think Ponzi scheme's worse.
It sounds
we could get like deeply into the Bernie Madoff. I don't, no one came here for financial advice from me, did they?
I don't know what the Bernie Madoff thing is.
That was a Ponzi scheme.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Like,
stole money from a lot of people.
Makes note to read more.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you could find that out from one of the Real Housewives franchises if you put your mind to it. I'm almost certain they all have money in with Bernie Madoff. Like, that seems about right. But who knows, and who am I to say such libelous things?
Yeah. None of the views held by Lindsay Kelk were supported or shared.
I'm not saying that like they were in on it. I'm saying that maybe some of them lost money on bad investments.
I'm just making myself super comfortable.
No, it look, you look
I'm
like
going into
a
lean. It's because I'm wearing... It's a really hot day.
It's really hot.
And I think I'm on the verge of spontaneously combusting, and I don't even make a joke.
It's very warm in this flat. It is very warm.
It's lovely. It's very homely. I'm enjoying it. But yeah, it's just a very, very hot day.
The air conditioning is struggling. And the only way to keep it cool is to close the curtains. And I don't want to because it's pretty. And also it would be pitch black and weird.
Yeah. It is gorgeous. It's floor to ceiling windows, and we've got basically, well, if I wasn't sitting where I'm sitting, I have an uninterrupted view of the Shard. Yeah. I keep fidgeting. I'm sorry. It's just I'm in a fidgety mood today.
It's fine. Fidget away.
I apologise.
It's because it's hot.
So the Full Coverage Facebook group is amazing, and they often talk about bulk buying. And I think it might have been in your group that somebody said they bulk bought a lipstick when it was being discontinued and is now storing some in the freezer.
Yes. And was it Heather? I think it's Heather. It's one of our OG members.
Possibly. Oh, Heather the OG.
Well, she wouldn't... So we had a meetup. The first meetup earlier this year, and Heather came along. She's one of our OG, call out Heather.
OG of BFC.
she has this amazing signature red lipstick. Everyone was like, oh my God, Heather, your lipstick's so amazing. What is it? And she was fully like, I'm not telling you because they've discontinued it. And whenever I see it, I buy it and it's mine forever and no one else can have it. But then she did share the wealth because, you know, full coverage is sharing is caring.
Yeah.
And then people did buy it. And then they would go on the group and go, oh, I bought some. And then she'd be like, you bastards. Because while she was happy to share the bill, she really wasn't happy to share the lipsticks.
I'm just on the edge of my seat because I want to know whether the integrity of the formula will be compromised by being frozen.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. But then will it survive, like, just time also? It's just so difficult.
I've got so many lipsticks that I've worn.
Yeah, I've got
that
ancient lipsticks.
Fine.
Well, do you know what I noticed the other day? Because I really like the Glossier Matte Generation G lipsticks, and I always travel with them because they're so little.
Them.
The little white ones. Okay, we'll play with that after. But one of them I really, really like that it's just, they're sort of more of a tint than a lipstick, but they're in a lipstick sort of formula.
Nice.
But they're more of a blurred matte, balmy effect type thing.
It's just dirty talk with you and makeup, isn't it?
I love it so much. But one of them started to smell, and I got it out to put it on, and I was like, oh, what's that? I have a strange smell I can smell walking around town. And then about a minute later, I was like, hang on. Got the lipstick back out. I was like, oh, it's the lipstick.
Did you give it a rub with an antibacterial wipe?
I did. I should have just thrown it away and got a new one.
And did you like get a lighter and just burn it a little bit?
Yeah, I was like, be fine. Just scrape the top off and start again. I probably need to say goodbye to that. the packaging is cracked. I cracked the packaging. I think maybe it's because the lipstick case has... I'm lying to myself. It's just, like, had its day. But I'm like, maybe because the case has been compromised, that's why it smells a bit. But it's not, is it? It's just gone bad.
But if it's a Glossier lipstick, like, Glossier's not been around long enough for their
no,
stuff
I know.
To
well,
have expired.
But technically, aren't lipsticks supposed to expire after, like, 6 months or something?
No, surely it's longer.
I don't know. I've got MAC lipsticks I've literally had for
I've
decades.
Got a flat-out Fabulous that's definitely 5 years old, and there's nothing wrong with that MAC lipstick at all.
One of the MAC... So, years ago, MAC did a collaboration with Barbie, and I mean years, like, over 10 years ago, and... There was a lipstick, I think it was called Sweet and Single, and it's the most beautiful sort of, it's frost, but it's not frost. It's a very sweet, nudie pink, metallic, slightly metallic-y. It's absolutely gorgeous, and it was just like my favourite lipstick of all time, and I will on occasion be like, ah, it's all right, get it out.
Now, have you dropped Mac into the conversation because you had lunch with Terry Barber the other
day? Oh my God, Emma, I don't know if I mentioned this, but it was the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me, apart from seeing you in the street earlier.
Sure, yeah.
It was so exciting.
Likewise.
I didn't know I was going to be having lunch with Terry Barber. I was supposed to be meeting a friend that worked for Mac. And then she just was casually like, oh, yeah, Terry's there. And not only that happened, but she actually wasn't there when I got there. It was Terry and one of the press team that I didn't know. So then Foley was like, hi. And then said friend showed up later.
What did you say to Terry? Because I love Terry, but I do that thing where I can't have a normal conversation with him because he's Terry Barber.
Me too.
And I want him to like me very, very much.
Yeah, so I just totally underplayed it and pretended that I haven't been fangirling over him for my entire adult life. And I waited until we'd got to chatting about dildos and the like, because he's the greatest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I brought that up. It wasn't him. He's lovely and very professional. And then casually dropped into a presentation about a Mac presentation that I went... Dropped into conversation a presentation that I went to about 12 years ago that he gave, where he told a story about doing Grace Jones's makeup and that she had told him to highlight her like a panther. And I was like, oh, this is really awkward, Terry. You're going to tell me it wasn't even you now, and this is so silly. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I mentioned it, but I was at this presentation. And then he was like, no, yeah, babe, that was me. And then I was like, we're best friends now. But it was so awful. I'm so in awe of him. I think he's so incredibly talented. I love his palette. He's just on a collaboration palette.
I can see it over there on the table.
It's
and
gorgeous,
I do want to open
dude.
It and
it's
put
really
my fingers
beautiful.
On it.
It's really beautiful. I've had my mitts in it. And yet I haven't put it on my face yet, which is so stupid because I'm too anxious about
it. I understand
that.
If I really like a palette, chances are it won't get used. Like the bronze, Estée Lauder have got the bronze
yes,
goddess palette.
The little round one. It's gorgeous.
And it's beautiful. And lots of the summer palettes this season, this summer, have got very beautiful, like, aqua or
they're all
topaz.
Neutral with a pop of turquoise.
Yeah,
all
with
of
a,
them. Beach,
a
Urban
shade.
Decay Beach, the Estée Lauder. Yeah, goddess.
Urban Decay. Yeah. The Laura Geller palette has got like a very shimmery metallic blue. But I've got two of the Bronze Goddess ones because there's two slightly different ones: one bigger, one smaller. And they are just sitting in my office on my desk like ornaments, and I'm not going to touch them.
I've got the little one, and I just like
I
to take
them.
It out and touch it sometimes, and then I put it away again.
I open them, I look at them, I smell them because they smell like Bronze Goddess.
Yeah, they do.
I put them in my pocket. I feel, you know, and I use the mirror because I always, when I'm working from home, I will apply a lot of makeup.
Yeah. Me too.
Rather than work.
So it is work, kind of, not really.
No, it's like, I'm opening my post and there's some new eyeliners. I'm like, right, well, I better stop filling out that invoice and put that eyeliner on immediately.
All of them on each eye.
Otherwise, I'm just, you know, what am I doing? What's the word I'm looking for? It's reckless abandonment.
Yeah.
Just open the package and not use it.
It's just foolish.
Yes. So, but you enjoyed your time with Terry
I loved him so much. He's so great that I even got past the part where I would kept going like, it's Terry Barber, and then you would remember again. But he put me at ease right away. He was so cool and
he
was so nice.
He doesn't suffer any. I went to it was his. Oh, God,
kept giving me his chips. He gave me loads of chips because I didn't have any chips, and he was like, "Have a chip," and I was like, "Well, Will, thank you."
Oh no, that would make me love him. Did you have a plate of beef?
I didn't have a plate of beef. He had the burger. It was the day after I'd arrived in London, and I'm always feel a bit, you know, when you've been on a flight and you just feel a bit bloated and gross. So I had the fish and then like massively regretted not having the burger when it came, but I wouldn't have been able to eat it because I'm all like, bleh.
No,
I love
travel's
a bit of beef.
Awful, plus with the everything in retrograde.
Everything's in retrograde, apparently.
So it's just, we've got flapjacks and gingerbread then.
And I feel like I put on a classy spread for you
I
guys.
I hadn't eaten and I was feeling, well, actually, I lie. I bought some blueberries, but they didn't taste right.
Oh, no. Oh, you can't have that because they go bad very quickly.
Well, they're from M&S, though.
I'd take them back.
International listeners, like, that's the apex.
The apex opportunity for blueberries.
Of fruit buying for public transport. And they just didn't taste right. And then I started to blame myself. I'm like, is this part of this whole, like, it's not feeling palate. 100%?
Yeah.
Have I lost my sense
no,
of taste?
No, you should have just got some Percy Pigs and then you would have been fine. Consistency.
I should have done. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Fewer antioxidants, but more flavour.
Crocodiles don't have antioxidants, do they?
I don't know.
I'm going to come back to
this. I don't know how
quickly
they're oxidising. I was so convinced by said Jeffrey the Uber driver, because he was just so, he knew everything. Like, he was so smart about animals.
My bum's gone to sleep, sorry, that's why I'm fidgeting.
Oh, go for it. Because his mum was a zookeeper in Florida. No, that's how we got into it, because I was like, oh, what brought you to LA from Florida? And he was just like, because it's shit. And I was like, oh, all right, have a minute, Jeffrey. I don't know enough
terrible,
about Florida.
Is that? I thought Florida was nice.
I don't know enough about Florida, but my take on Florida is that there is far too many alligators for me to ever spend any real time in Florida.
When you
and that's what I told him, and that's how we got onto alligators.
When you go on a Google search for where is Lindsay going to go on holiday next, when you get to the website, is alligator population
there's
density?
A filter. Yeah, seriously. One of my favorite places in the world is New Orleans, and in the swamps in New Orleans, they've got. I don't know. It's alligators. Yeah, I
dead vampires as well. That's where
yes, I understand that too. Yeah. I could take you on the vampire tour of New Orleans when we go, because I can do the tour now.
Are you
I've
joking?
Done it so many times. Yeah, the ghost tour, and I'm obsessed with it.
Wait,
like,
what?
Did you watch with this? I apologize to anyone listening to this, but did you watch the American Horror Story Coven series?
Was that the
that
first
was set
one?
In New Orleans? No, it was the one with all the witches. Emma Roberts with the witch, and
I just witch. I live for Jessica Lange's accent.
Yes, Jessica Lange was a witch. She was the supreme. So a lot of the stuff taken from that season that was set in New Orleans about witches was based on real stuff. So like Marie Laveau was a real person.
Was that Kathy Bates?
No, that was Madame LaLaurie, who was also a real person. It was Angela
Bassett.
Bassett was Marie Laveau.
Oh.
Who was the voodoo queen. We can go visit her grave. In New Orleans, but Madame LaLaurie was a real person, and she was a socialite who was actually in real life apparently the most beautiful woman who'd ever lived. So no offense,
pick
Kathy
her that
Bates.
Way. I love Kathy
no
Bates.
No offense, she's brilliant. But I remember reading something at the time, and they were like, "What? Hang on, though," because she had it was like a third husband, I think, who was Dr. LaLaurie. And they had a mansion.
The laughs.
So they had a mansion, which is still there. But she was a socialite, and they happened to... It's a terrible story that they went through a lot of slaves, which obviously was a thing in America at the time. And no one really said anything because they were rich, and it was, you know, whatever, it's all fine. And then one night they were having a dinner party and a fire started in the house. So all of the New Orleans homes, it's very like Interview with a Vampire, if you've seen it, they have the grand mansions, but then they all have courtyards. And a lot of this is because there's been so many fires there in the past. So the kitchen and the stuff is further away so that they can stop it if there is a fire before it gets to the main house.
Oh.
So this fire started, and because they're rich poshos, they were like, oh, let's just move the dinner party into the street and be fabulous. So they get the slaves to carry the table out, and they just carry on the dinner party in the street, and everyone's like, oh, ha, 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 the firemen will stop the fire, everything's fine. But what happened was the firemen came in, the fire actually spread quite quickly, and then they heard screaming coming from the attic. And when they went up into the attic, they'd been experimenting on their slaves, Madame LaLaurie and her doctor husband. And I won't go into it, but really very gruesome stuff. They became aware that this was not going to be okay. And people came, they were like, we need to have a quick word with you about this. So Madame LaLaurie and her husband ran away. They ran away from New Orleans. They got in their coach and bolted. And I think I've heard different versions of what happened afterwards. Like, no one knew where they ended up. They ended up in New York. There's rumors they were in Paris. I'm sure that is a definitive answer, but the different tours I've done, that's the story diverts there. But she was on Horror Story doing basically that, like using slave's blood in her beauty regime and stuff
yes,
like that.
Yes, yes. She should have been using crocodile skin.
Yeah, right. And they were right down the road in the Leighton Swamps. But that's all real, and like that mansion is still there, and it's terrifying. Nicolas Cage bought it, and it's said to be cursed. And it was after he bought that's when all of his IRS trouble kicked off, and they became bankrupt, and everything started going wrong in poor Nicolas Cage's life because the Lullary Curse.
And that's why he had to do all the movies that weren't that great. And you could see him just like gritting his teeth, thinking,
"So many.
It's just another six." I love Nicolas Cage.
I just will go and watch like Wild at Heart again and cry.
Oh, well, if we're talking about Nicolas Cage movies...
Which we are now, apparently. I'm so sorry. I was telling you about alligators in New Orleans, and I'm like, eh. Do you know what's better?
Like, Nicolas Cage movies.
Terrifying stories about real serial killers and Nicolas Cage.
Face Off.
Oh, I'd like to take his face off. It's one of my all-time favourite films.
It's like looking in a mirror, only not.
Face Off and Con Air.
I've got a problem with Con Air.
Why?
Because it's just so... I mean, that is so, so bad.
My birthday is July. I can't remember what day it is, but like July 14th, let's say, for example. It's like, I meet my daddy on July. It's such a great film.
Men in Uniform.
I love that.
Survives a plane crash.
Yeah.
Is he a cross-dresser? Survives a plane crash. Stumbles out of the wreckage to see lots of policemen and ambulance servicemen. Mm-hmm. And his dying words are, "Oh, Men in Uniform."
I love that film. I love that. It's one of my uni films, though. It was one we used to watch it all the time.
No, Face Off, I just think it's John Woo.
Yeah,
fabulous.
No, Face Off is a fantastic film. Con Air is very much not a fantastic film, but they're both brilliant in their own way.
Not going to work on audio, but the thing with the face...
Yeah, he'd like to take his face...
No. Oh. Sorry. The thing that John Travolta does to his kids, where he puts his hand...
Oh, he wipes his hand
Joan
over
Allen.
His face, yeah.
I went to my friend's birthday a few years ago. It was my friend's fiancé's birthday. We hadn't met before. And he was wearing a blue glow stick around his neck. And I said, "Oh, is that the Tesseract?" And immediately we were best friends. And then within 30 seconds, we got onto Face Off.
Yeah.
And then now, not recently, but went through a phase of when we'd see each other, we'd do the thing with the thing down each other's faces.
Yeah, that's his gesture of love to his family. It's their intimate gesture as they wipe their hand, which it's a bit weird. They just wipe your palm down your beloved's face.
An intimate gesture that involves the word wipe. It's just not okay with me.
I know. I always think those things are weird. I used to work with Mary-Kate and Ashley on books years and years and years ago, and they had to send us like facts about themselves for a book. And they sent this one, which was really sweet, but also like dead sad. They were like, "Oh, whenever we're doing events and we're really, really nervous and scared," because they were little kids. They were like, "We hold each other. We're always holding hands because we're scared. So one will squeeze one's hand 3 times and the other one will squeeze it back 4 times. So it'll be, 'I love you' and 'I love you too.'" And I was like, "Someone take these children out of the spotlight." But they've done fine for themselves. But I always thought that was a very sweet and intimate gesture.
That's really sweet.
And if I ever get in a position where I'm holding hands with one of them, I know exactly what to do.
Oh, I don't know if you can have in on that bond, Lindsay.
I'd be like, with massive wide eyes and a gurning face, squeezing her hand endlessly. Squeeze it back!
I love you!
Squeeze it back! It would be MK because I was scared of Ashley, so it would only be MK.
I couldn't tell them apart.
Oh, I can. I know everything about them working with them, yeah. Working with them, that 2 times that I met them. They're not identical, you know.
No, they're fraternal, aren't they?
Yeah, bonkers.
I'm obsessed with Elizabeth Olsen. I think she's
excellent. She's beautiful. Have you watched Wind River?
Oh, it's just gone onto Netflix in the UK.
Yeah, I just watched it.
Absolutely brilliant movie.
Yeah.
The bit in the middle, the flashback scene, is heartbreaking.
I had to sort of
I had weeks of being sad.
Yeah.
Thinking about that scene because it's so beautifully
awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the guy whose name I always forget, but he was also the Punisher.
John Bernthal?
Yeah, thanks.
I felt really... I won't spoilers, but I felt really bad because I had prejudged the character.
Me too.
And then I was like,
we'd all done it.
But anyway, go watch it. It's brilliant.
It is really good.
And prepare thyself.
Yeah.
Have someone whose hand you can squeeze 3 times while
and you're squeeze it back 4.
Yeah. And not just go, "What are you doing?"
That's the basic standard. In fact, and that's made me think about something. So... I did on Instagram, you know, they've got that new sticker function.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, because you've done it. But I did it the other day and I was like, "Who would you like to have on the podcast?" And obviously some people said...
It's a very impressive list.
Yeah, some people were basically lots of Caroline Hirons. She sent me a text message going, "Your listeners are really effing intelligent." Basically saying they're the best listeners ever because they just are saying me. And they said you. And then I had somebody say... I had a few people, or I had one person say it, I then replied, and then loads of people then DM'd me about that, saying I would really listen to that episode. And I feel like we've come onto this, which is to get somebody to talk about being single in your 30s and 40s and why actually it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
And just to kind of destigmatize it.
It's not a bad thing. I was single for a lot of my 30s.
How old are you now?
I'm 30. I'll be 38 in October, so I'm just shy of 38. And I was single until I was 35, or just before 34, I don't know. That's a terrible girlfriend. But I was single for like a good half of my 30s. And I noticed that was weird. So I was living, again, I just sound like a bell end, but I was living in New York then. And
this is before you moved to LA.
Before I moved to LA. And there was just, before I moved to LA, there was always, I noticed a shift. I noticed a very distinct shift. So I obviously was on social media. I was writing books. I was doing stuff. So I had a profile of sorts, like a very minor internet social, but you know what I mean? Like I had an internet profile, and I would tweet about the dates that I went on, and I would tweet about being single, and I would tweet about my mates, and everything was fine, and everyone was like, you're living the Sex and the City dream, all right up until about 32. Mm-hmm. And then there was a massive tidal, like a shift in the tide. The tide turned on me.
Was it a sharknado?
It was a sharknado of judgment that I felt it straight away. And people started being like, oh, did it not work out again? And like, oh, don't worry, don't give up hope. And it was really weird. It went from being like, we love living vicariously through your dating life and you're living our Sex and the City dream and we love it, to being a bit like, oh, don't worry, babes, it'll happen for you one day. It happened really quickly, and people became very, and they were so relieved when I would go on a date, and when I started seeing someone, they were so relieved. And I found that really strange that it happened. That's when it happened. It was 32, between 32 and 33, people just suddenly were like, oh, are you okay? And it's like, well, yeah, this is through choice. Like I'm choosing to not be in a inferior relationship or a not good enough relationship. I'm very, very happy with my life.
Yeah.
But people were very desperate to put me in a box at that point as someone, instead of someone who was having fun, I became someone who couldn't get a relationship.
Yeah. Okay. So,
and I found that really weird. It happened without any of my input.
See, I can't really blame other people for projecting onto me that there is this thing that I haven't been able to get, because it's very socially acceptable to settle down, have a relationship. It, like, you know, it's like, right, you get a boyfriend, you move in together, you get engaged, you get married, you have children. It's very not
formulaic.
That's
the deal. That's the deal.
Yeah, but I know so many friends who, when they get engaged, they say, and then people are like, when are you going to get married?
Yeah,
and
when you get married, and then you're going to have a baby.
So it's just, it happens at different levels. But I must admit, I do find it's coming up more, and the pool of eligible men that I think women who do find themselves single in their late 30s and 40s does tend to be quite small.
Yes. Oh, no, that's entirely true. Because you just think, well, yeah, it's like the fish left in the barrel that are there for the shooting. they're not the best fish anymore, are they? Like, it's maybe not the best fish. And I talk about this a lot with my girlfriends, because a lot of my friends in New York are still single, more than my friends in LA and more than my friends in London. And we talk about that a lot, and one of the theories that we have on that is that we, oh, to share my theory on Asked, is that we were a generation that were very much encouraged to be ambitious and encouraged to go out and chase what we wanted and get what we wanted career-wise and personally, that perhaps wasn't relationship-focused. And so we did that with the exclusion of concentrating on relationships, and maybe the dudes in our life didn't feel comfortable with how ambitious and dedicated we were. And I'm not saying that's hashtag not all men, but the ones that my friend group definitely encountered. And then when they had reached a certain point in their career and were like, oh, well, now I'm prepared to put more time into this other thing, a lot of the men had gone. So the men that were our age were dating younger, and the men that are older than us were the generation before us who got married and who did what you just said. So there was like a weird gap where the men that would be our age group are already taken. And then the ones that are our age that we maybe didn't have time for when we were younger have just sort of gone to a younger generation.
Do you think there's also like a primal thing whereby if you are an independent woman. Yeah. I can't say it without wanting to burst into song. But if you
I will
are,
throw my hands up at you.
Oh, please do.
Sorry.
No,
please. We haven't had a drink.
We haven't even had a drink, so but we are going to do karaoke later because if we don't, there's no point you having flown over from LA.
No, I'll just go home tomorrow.
I will drive you to the airport. I won't even talk to you. I'll just dump you at the airport. Departures.
Just hit the horn outside.
Rejected. No, do you also think there's a primal thing of if you are supporting yourself, if you have a career and basically if you are then in a relationship, there are fundamental sort of primal needs that a guy needs to have met, like to be a provider and to be the more dominant potentially, you know what I'm, where I'm getting
at. I mean, at the risk of upsetting anyone or like people going like, oh, it's not true, that's been my experience. I've found it very, very, very difficult to meet men who are comfortable enough for me to be as ambitious and independent as I am. Like I loved my life in New York. I love my life now, but I was so happy. I built myself the most incredible family of supportive women. And that is one thing about New York, and I think London too, and I'm sure everywhere, but New York especially, you have to fight tooth and nail for your square inch of space.
And let's just put this into context. You were working in London.
Yes.
And then...
as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
I wouldn't... that's where I met you.
I was in publishing.
So you were working in London in publishing.
Yeah.
And you were not an editor. What were you doing?
I was a children's editor.
Children's editor, yeah. That's it. And you were writing. And then you went to New York. And I'm not going to say on a whim, but an opportunity arose. And it was kind of a leap.
Yes, it was huge. Yeah, I was living in London. I was with my partner. We've been together 7 years. We bought a house. Mm. We had all the things that I thought I should have. Mm-hmm. I was 27 and I got offered my book deal and I got offered the job in New York at the same time.
Saturn return.
Yeah, right. Right.
Right.
It was the same week and he had been away for work and he was coming home that weekend and I hadn't told him while he was away because I didn't think it was fair to put such big things on him. Uh-huh. And he knew I loved New York and he knew my dream was to write books and he knew I'd wanted to live in New York if I could. And he came home and I sat down and I was like, basically, this is what happened. And we have the money from the book deal. It's not a significant amount of money, but it would support us for a year living the way we live. If you wanted to quit your job, which he was really unhappy in. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you could quit and come with me. Or you could just come for a couple of months, see how you feel. And if you hate it, we'll come home. But we have these options suddenly, which we've never had. And we were both like, well, I was up to my neck in student debt, still graduate debt. Suddenly we had options for the first time in our lives. We met when I was 20. And he just turned around and was like, no, you're all right. See ya. After 7 years. And was just like, can't do it. And the relationship wasn't in a good place. Mm-hmm. And that's totally fair in hindsight. Now I see that. But we talked about it. We stay friends. And a couple of years after, he was just like, yeah, I just couldn't cope. I didn't know what to do with it because you were suddenly making these giant leaps. Mm. And he didn't want to. And that's entirely fair. Like if he had what he wanted, which was his job, his life, not necessarily me, it turns out, but he wanted that life. Mm. And I always wanted something else. And I don't know if I will always want something else, but I always want to feel like I'm doing something. Mm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Always need to feel like I am doing something. And he didn't want to deal with that. And that's entirely fair. And I have come across that more times than I care to know with dudes.
Isn't it?
But I don't know if that's the men I'm choosing. I don't know if that's the men I attract. I find that side of it really interesting, that the common denominator in those men is, in my experience, obviously, is me. Mm. But I've seen that with my girlfriends too in New York. You know, they're women that fought so hard to get to where they're at.
Mm.
And then, to find a dude that's happy to, or a man, got to call him a dude, a man that can stand at the side of that and encourage you and make you bigger and make you better and push you on, but is happy to do that and that you can do that for each other, I think that is a rare find.
Mm-hmm.
probably for both of you to be able to find someone that even. I'm feeling Beyonce right now. I feel like there's a lot of Beyonce songs about this. But then
they don't have Lemonade at the karaoke bar we're going to. I've
really
checked. Yeah.
God damn it. But then I also think it's hard when you get to a certain age and when you've built a life for yourself. So like, so much of my life is taken up writing, and then I'm also like, I'll start a podcast because I'm not doing enough. I'm like,
and then I'll do another one
on this other podcast. Yeah, it's like I just will always take on more stuff because I need that motivation. Mm. I need to feel that it's happening in my life, that movement, that forward movement, like a shark. I just feel like I always have
or
to be
crocodile.
Or a crocodile. Like, ah, you're gonna get me. And I think when I had all my friends in New York and I had my apartment and I loved it and my life was so perfectly constructed by me for me, it was hard to let anyone into that as well. And I've heard that from friends too. And they've said, you know, a dude's got to be so... Do you know how good a man has got to be for me to make room for him in this life that I've created that's so
the New
great
York
for
life
me?
Specifically.
I mean, that was where it happened then, but I've got friends here the same. I have friends who, I have a friend who's been single for a while and she wanted to have a baby, and so she had a baby. She did a donation and had a baby because she said the same thing. She was like, my life makes me so happy and I can't imagine... I want to do this and I can't imagine letting in someone that's not the right someone to the detriment of what is already so right in my life. So I'm just going to do this, and if the right guy comes along, awesome. And I thought that was so brave and strong and awesome and incredible.
And is she still having the time of her life?
Yeah, she's so happy. She's so happy. It's
that's amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely, it was very interesting that... the response I had to that question sticker where somebody asked, you know, if you could get an expert on to talk about being single in your 30s and 40s. And
I just totally hijacked that quiz. Sorry. No, I had strong feelings about it, Emma.
No, because I don't think there's a definitive answer, but I also feel it's a little bit like a lot of things in that it's not a conversation that you hear loads.
No.
Which is why it was interesting that and it's also come up in my Facebook group as well, because there's my Facebook group as well as Lindsay's.
It's very good. It's very good.
Thank you. And it's just, I think there's quite a few, from what I've seen from the feedback I've been getting to the show, this isn't me sort of drawing any kind of generalisation, of women wanting to sort of be okay to admit it and say, I'm actually happy.
Yeah.
And
or either way, like, it's really hard, I think, to admit that you're happy to be on your own because people don't believe you and you feel like you're putting on a brave face. And sometimes you are putting on a brave face. Because then there's also, it's okay to say, I do want to be with someone. Mm. Like, either is fine. That's what I don't get about society now is we're so... It's in everything, too, that it's like, just you're not allowed to have either or. It's like, both things are okay, generally speaking.
I have friends
both things are okay.
I have friends who, when they're single, they're a nightmare. They spiral. And as soon as they get into a relationship, they're calmer, they're happier. Yeah. And so... It's obvious what they prefer. Yep. It's obvious what they prefer. I also have friends who, when they get in a relationship, they doubt themselves.
Yeah.
I'm a night. I can't do it. I'm just like, there's too much to control. There's too much to deal with this. And I think maybe because I'm personally high maintenance for me, that then I have to just shut off what I want and then just deal with the other person. Or
Which you shouldn't have to do. Mm.
So it's just, it's an interesting topic and one that I do want to find an expert. But I don't. Yeah. Is there an expert?
There an expert
other than us?
Obviously me.
Other than you.
No, I think you probably have to like actually just get 25 women on and find out what their experience is.
That's true. That probably isn't a bad
idea. Because there's not
going
to be, I mean, maybe there's someone that's already spoken to the hundreds of women. That might be the expert, but I don't think there is. I think you would have to just get loads of women in and ask them.
What about someone like Oprah, who's gone and done her own thing and Stedman's always been there?
I mean, she knows everything. She's an expert in everything, so you could definitely get her in.
But I've, obviously, I mean, we're emailing. It's a one-way communication.
But you can still say
you know. I look at every email I send to Oprah, and by Oprah I mean Oprah's people. Yeah. I look at every single one as putting it out into the universe.
Yeah, that's what she told you to do that. So you're only following orders.
But I watched an interview with her where she was talking about she was getting married. They were planning a wedding, and I think she was on her way to something, and she said something to Stedman, and she's just like, "I don't want this." They're still together.
Yeah.
But she just didn't want all of that governance.
No, don't blame her. I think it's interesting. And this is a convenient segue into my new book. Have you got a new book coming out? But the character in the book, this is weird because we did not plan this, but the character is very ambitious. She owns her own company, and the central romance in the book is with someone who is an introvert, and he like just does his own thing. And I hadn't really thought about it. Dr. Samuel Page. You can't page him, he's a historian, but it's not that kind of doctor. You could page him, he wouldn't come.
Does anyone have pages anymore?
I like to think so. Probably hipsters.
In ER.
Yeah, I just watched reruns of
the program.
Yeah, somebody tweeted recently, and they'd read it, an early copy, and she tweeted saying like, "Oh, I absolutely loved it because it was I really enjoyed reading the story between an alpha female and like a hot beta male," and I hadn't really thought about it, but I was like, "Yeah, I guess I did write that."
That's my intention. Thanks
entirely. That's entirely what I meant to do. Thank you for noticing and so perceptive. But then I think that obviously that's a thing, and I can't imagine there are that many dudes or that many men who are just like, yeah, I'm a beta male. Because that's, and then it's toxic masculinity, and we're into toxic masculinity where they're not allowed to feel like they can be beta, right? That's a thing. I keep reading about that on the internet.
Oh, toxic masculinity. Your internet searching is far more highbrow than mine.
I can't go a day without shouting patriarchy, misogyny, or toxic masculinity. That feels like I spend too much time on Twitter, though. That's why.
See, I'm still with the giant anacondas.
Nice.
It's very, 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 very little actual video footage.
Really?
Yeah. And I.
That's disappointing.
Part of me is thinking if I do win the lottery, it's just time to just drone the shit out of all of those areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until I get.
That's what we're gonna do.
The footage of the giant
anaconda.
Have
you just tried watching the movie Anaconda and see if
it's not the same? It's not the same. No. It's not a believable snake.
I just thought it might satisfy something in you.
I mean, it hit a spot, but it didn't quite.
I'm not suggesting you've got an anaconda fetish, but I'm just saying, like, it might put you on.
My anaconda don't.
Don't want none of your fake anaconda, son. This has taken a turn. This has taken a turn.
There is not a drop of alcohol in our system. Well, maybe some residual alcohol. It's, did you drink last
caffeine.
Night?
I did drink last night, but I stopped drinking at about 9, so it's definitely out by
you weren't
now.
Even trying.
I wasn't.
I had cafetiere coffee this morning.
I had a macchiato at lunch because the person I was having lunch ordered one, and I didn't want to then just say, oh, I'll have a filter coffee. So I thought, oh, that sounds delicious.
Is a macchiato just a short?
Yes, it's like an espresso with steamed milk over it, I think.
Because there's a macchiato, a cortado. It's all got very confusing.
I like a cortado,
but with less coffee.
I think that's more milk. I don't know. I just go to the coffee shop on the end of the road and order what sounds fancy and just take it. I'm not bothered. I've only recently started drinking coffee. It's only really the last couple of years that I've ever drank coffee.
I might just do a potluck and just get, every time I go into a coffee shop, just say whatever feels
yeah,
right.
Yeah, dealer's choice.
Yeah, what do you think?
What do I look like today?
Do I look like a cappuccino lover or do I look more like a
cortado
queen?
I just don't want to turn into a coffee wanker because...
I think impossible.
The LA coffee orders get epic. And I did listen to your podcast with amazing Paula from Paula's Choice. And when she was talking about her very detailed coffee order.
I was like, what did you just say?
I wouldn't mind one of those. And I was like, I can't. I'm from Doncaster. I can't go in and be like.
Was it like a 4-shot wet something or
other? Oh, it was like, yeah. It was like, well, and I used to work for someone that would make me go and get her a triple venti wet latte. And don't ask someone to say wet. Don't. It's rude to ask anyone to say wet on your behalf. If it's for me. And I am prepared to put myself through that filth. That's on me.
I always say no foam.
You shouldn't ask your assistant to do it. Yeah, no foam.
I don't say wet, I say
no foam. No FOMO. But, and also, yeah, wet latte, venti wet latte, triple venti wet latte.
So what's a trip? So there are 3 shots in a venti anyway. Yeah. So what's a triple venti?
I think it just defeats the object. I think she's just over-egging the pudding.
Shots?
No, I think it's probably just 3. I don't think they would do 3. My friend tried to get a quadruple latte when we were in Vegas recently and they wouldn't do it.
In Vegas?
Yeah, they were like, well, we had to drive back to LA, but they wouldn't
but
do
it.
But
if you want some meth in there.
Well, yeah, exactly. But then he was just like, well, but I'm just going to order 2 shots on top of the triple. So then they were
Take a sit and go put them in.
Yeah, all right. But some of them just won't do it in case you have a heart attack and die.
Oh, is that a real thing?
Yeah, because it's like that much caffeine.
I should really cut down.
I'm not supposed to drink caffeine as much as I do, and I do drink a lot. And I do feel it. Like, it makes my anxiety much worse, too. I can be like, oh, that's not ideal, and then I have to sit down and have a quiet minute because
things get bad. I probably drink So a pod in my machine.
Yes.
I run the water through it three times, so it's a lot. So
okay,
it's not.
Okay, well, that's good.
But then I probably have two of those before the gym.
I always do an espresso before the gym.
Yeah.
Because it does help.
It does help, but you have to make... There are two things that it can do to you. A coffee first thing in the morning. The second is improve your performance in the gym.
I don't have that problem.
So you just have to make sure that you just factor in...
A time period.
Yeah, where you're like, right, I'm going to have the coffee, I'm going to do that, then I'm going to go to the gym.
Oh, yeah, I don't have that problem. My system doesn't act that way, unfortunately.
Just have a bit of...
We're just alluding milk. Towards something, but yeah.
I think I sent you one of my favourite texts that I've ever sent you yesterday when we were talking about something similar.
Oh.
Do you remember what I sent you?
I mean, I'm not going to read it out. That would be very rude.
Can I say it?
Yeah, no, please do.
Lindsay was worried that she'd had a bit of a reaction to something she'd eaten.
Yeah.
And a couple of hours after she sent me the initial text, I just wrote one saying, have you sharted?
Yeah, and I hadn't.
No,
I hadn't,
and I was
so
really proud
pleased.
Of you. I was genuinely really pleased for you.
No, I am, since moving to LA, lactose intolerant. Actually, no, since moving to New York, they told me I was lactose intolerant. And I was fully like, no, I'm not. Don't be stupid. That's not a real thing
Doncaster.
In England. Yeah, from Donny. Love, just give me a full cow and I'll drink straight out the teat. And then the doctor... said try not eating any dairy for a week, and after I'd fully just been like, but cereals, I did not eat dairy for a week, and it was like life-changing.
Really?
I was like, oh, so I have to go really easy on the old lactose. It does the opposite. A lot of people, it gives them the runs, obviously, but I get bunged up because lactose creates mucus in your system. You know? So it makes
so
me,
sexy.
Right? It's hot. It's so hot right now. It makes me very, I already have a nasally voice anyway, but it makes me very, very congested, and it makes me not work. It makes my tummy not work instead of working too hard.
So it stalls.
Yeah. But because I don't have it at all, if I do, and I foolishly had a yogurt granola for breakfast after I'd... That's what
tempting.
I was communicating with you.
Tempting. You were in a decent hotel, weren't you?
I was in a fancy hotel with a fancy person having breakfast, and I didn't trust myself to eat anything other than yogurt and granola.
If the person is fancy and you're not quite sure what your boundaries are, it's never a good idea to get... When I have eggs, it's runny yolks.
Yeah.
So that's why I always like to have something I can spoon into
my exactly.
face.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this feels like an adult... breakfast, even though it is what you would give a child.
Yeah.
Because the other options were like a full English.
Yeah, so I'm going to eat
Bircher muesli, which I won't... I'm not having anything to do with that.
Why?
I don't like it.
Oh my
slop.
God, it's so good.
Doesn't taste of anything. Nonsense.
I make...
Give me a bowl of Alpen any day.
Oh, you animal. I love Bircher muesli.
No, it's too fancy for the likes of me. That's what I know.
I love it. Genuinely. But I'm a big fan of fruit and food, and I know that that's very polarising.
I don't mind it. I just, every time I've had Bircher muesli, I've been disappointed.
I got sent, it's ridiculous, I got sent some chocolate recently by a brand, and...
Parker.
Yeah, I know, and it was like, sea salt chocolate. And I thought, you know what this is missing? Fruit and nuts.
Well, everyone's a fruit
so
and
I
nut
So I genuinely
case.
Made a bain-marie, melted it down...
Monster.
Bashed up a load of almonds and put in a handful of raisins,
that's
and
the
then
fanciest,
cooled it.
That's the fanciest response. That's the fanciest and most ungrateful response to receiving fancy chocolates that I've ever heard. Thank you for your chocolates, but I had to melt them down and make them better.
I had to
terrible person.
I didn't mean to be so awful.
Get you sent down the shop and get some fruit and nut.
But that is ghastly, isn't it? I should have just gone and spent 60p on a fruit and nut cabri.
But did you feel like you were... Did you, when you were doing it, did you talk out loud as though you were doing it on a cooking programme?
Yeah, and I bought a food processor the other day, and that's changed everything, like literally a week ago. Although, obviously the reason why I bought a food processor is because I thought, if I can cut vegetables at high speeds into very small pieces, that will surely mean that I will lose weight.
I understand the
you understand
physics
the logic.
Of that entirely.
I feel like every meal is going to be coleslaw.
It's like when I sign up to the Weight Watchers app,
yes.
and then get on the scales and go, what? Because yes. nothing changes. You have to actually do stuff.
Yeah. So I bought a food processor the other day, and I've been talking to Jules Von Hepp. Have you met Jules yet?
I haven't, and I feel deprived.
You are.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him about it, and he was like, oh, I'm on the same page as you, darling. I'm thinking about making my own hummus. we just had one of those ridiculous conversations that means that we're definitely... Well, he's in his 30s, I'm in my 40s. And then I was like, screw it, on Saturday. I was like, I'm going to go and buy a food processor. So I went and bought a food processor.
Did you get it from John Lewis?
I didn't. I got it from Debenhams.
Oh, okay, good. Just checking. Don't know why.
I love a bit of Debenhams.
Yeah, can't go wrong.
And I was like, right, I'm going to make gazpacho. And I thought, I know what's in gazpacho. Onions, garlic, tomatoes.
True.
So I just whizzed all of that up, put it in the fridge with some stock, cooled it, and then had it for dinner. Had a terrible stomach ache and was telling Jules, and he was like, you know that the basis of gazpacho is olive oil and bread? And I'd done it from what it looked like, and yeah. I hadn't actually made gazpacho. I just made very finely milled, garlicky,
chopped
potent
tomatoes,
salsa.
Yeah.
And make myself sick.
Well, but in a way, it had the desired result.
Yeah, yeah, because yeah. I was vacated of all.
Oh, the Emma Gunn's diet. Lose weight the Emma Gunn's way. Well, I've been going to the gym every day, she says.
No, she's been poisoning herself with tomatoes and onions.
And raw onion and garlic.
Yeah, I told Ian Marber, and he just was like, you absolute idiot.
It's literally his job to
You've
do,
just
to
eaten
not do
liquid
that.
Garlic and onions. Of course you're not feeling very well.
Really good for your immune system, though, right?
Well, that's what I think. But then I must admit my BO has been a bit funky this week.
I didn't like to say.
Oh, no, please, I'm so paranoid.
No, I'm joking.
I just smelled my armpit.
You just watched me Febreze a dress to wear True. To a nice dinner.
For the purposes of good moral standing, the Emma Gunn Show does not support fad diets or
no,
any
of course
extreme
not. It'll be
silly
dreadful.
Diets. The fact that I am a stupid person,
yeah,
who and then none of this would have happened if Chris Pratt was my boyfriend.
No, he would have known. He would have said, Emma, eat this chicken breast and stop it. And then he would have probably just cradled your head gently, wiped his hand down your face,
and squeezed my hand three times.
Yeah, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
He's so selfish, not being your boyfriend.
Well, again, so going back to that ever so slightly, I was having a conversation with another friend the
Chris
other day, because I have others, unfortunately.
Refused
I've DM'd him
it.
A thousand
Refused
times.
To accept it.
I haven't. Was talking about, like, my ideal boyfriend, partner, and it would be Chris... Well, obviously, Chris Pratt.
It would just be Chris Pratt.
No, what I'm... But we were just saying
Chris
that...
Chris Evans.
Oh, no, he's my screensaver on my
jam.
Laptop.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. I feel like he's yesterday's news to you.
No, I'm so fickle. It would be somebody who was busy living their own life.
Called Chris,
who was also in a Marvel movie.
I mean, you've got a relatively wide field to play
Hemsworth.
With. Yeah.
He looks very, very happy with... is it
Elsa Pataki?
And also, I reckon she could beat the shit out of me. She's. Got
I reckon she could beat the shit out of anyone. You'd have to if you were married to Chris Hemsworth.
She looks nice.
Yeah,
she's very dainty, very petite, very beautiful, but I think she's got some feral fighting style.
I feel
on.
Like it would be, you'd be having a lovely time and then he'd go to the toilet and she'd just lean across the table with a really big smile on her face and be like, back off. And I think that would be it. And you'd be like, okay.
Or she'd use your hair and yank your hair and smash your face into the table.
That would hurt. That would sting. If I was married to Chris Hemsworth, I'd probably take up Krav Maga or something. You'd have to.
That's the thing I think. Is it worth the stress?
Chris Hemsworth, yes. Yeah, I'd struggle through. I'd power through. Somehow I'd muddle through the
but is
agony.
It? Because I just, like, would you... You just wouldn't... Every time they left the house.
Yeah, but, like...
And you'd keep having to say, I trust you. It's the other people. It's them
but
I don't
feel
trust.
Like you hear it from normal people, from normals anyway. So you may as well be feeling anxious about it being Chris Hemsworth.
It comes
Because at least
to...
then you had a go on Chris Hemsworth and that will always, you can't take that away from you at that point. That'll keep you warm in your old age.
I remember when I got my first job on a magazine and it was like, I was telling you before we started recording, it was a bit of a Cinderella moment. I'd been working on local newspapers, did work experience, made a good impression. Don't know how. once I was through probation, that went downhill.
Wasn't eating gazpacho.
No, I made gazpacho for everybody. and I went in on my first day and it felt like this isn't real. This isn't actually my life because this should be someone else's life. This is like something out of a movie. And I sat down at my desk, I got my pass, and I remember thinking, even if they throw me out at lunchtime, I was still here for half a day.
That's
you can't
so nice.
Take that. It's still on my CV. Like it's still...
They can't take that away from you.
No, they can't. What song is that?
That's the song that can't take that away from you, isn't it? I don't know. Can't take.
We'll do that at karaoke.
And we'll let you know. We'll update you.
We need to get Nadine to come along.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm here. That's why I came to England.
That's why you flew from LA for Nadine's birthday. Yeah. She is quite keen to do karaoke, but I think we're going to have to create a splinter cell.
It's fine. That's not my first time this week doing that. So it's not my first time in the last 24 hours doing that. So.
I know. I felt betrayed yesterday when I looked at your social media.
It was not planned.
And you didn't. And you thought about me the whole time.
Yeah, obviously. I just kept saying this one's for Emma.
And it was physical. It wasn't emotional.
No, it was. There was nothing in it whatsoever.
Yeah. No. So I think somebody who's got their own stuff going on, who doesn't need me to like ball up their socks or do their laundry, because I can barely manage my own.
No, I know.
And I don't have to see all the time. So actually, for me, a long distance relationship is something I'm open to.
Your ideal relationship, much like my own, would be with a professional wrestler. I hate to tell you.
If it was The Rock.
I mean, yeah, it could be. Because they're away all the time. They're only home tops 2 days a week.
Sure.
Probably closer to 36 hours.
Right.
You're clear in 6 foot, probably on average.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably like pretty fit.
Yeah. And also like muscly.
Yeah, they're solid.
Yeah, they're there.
They throw people around for a living, so they can throw you around. And I have to say, all the ones that I've interviewed in the last couple of years, because my name is Lindsay and I love professional wrestling.
Which is why you have a second podcast called Tights and Fights.
My guest host, I can't claim that, but I do pop in. It's fantastic. Check us out.
Links will be in the show notes.
Yeah. Everyone I've met, I think there is a preconceived notion about wrestlers, and some of them absolutely certainly live up to that stereotype, but many of them, as exemplified by The Rock, by John Cena, all these people that are building breakout careers, are hardworking, dedicated, smart, genuine. I have had such great times working and hanging out with these people, and I just really don't know when's the right time to start telling them that we need to get married.
Oh,
it never comes up that it's the right time.
A business card
at the end. It's like, well, because
here are my details
routinely,
on the back.
Depending on what I'm doing, because if it's for the podcast, you need to get a photo so the podcast can use it on social media, and it'll be like, oh, sorry, this is so awkward, but could we get a photo? And while we're getting that photo, just whisper it then, maybe.
It also could be like in America when you get served. Obviously, that's not a thing over here. But you could say, "Oh, this is my business card,"
and by taking this,
you have entered into the contract of marriage.
I do. It would be amazing. Or you just start showing up to the interviews in a wedding dress, seeing if anyone bites.
Be cool, Lindsay. Like, don't overdo it.
I don't know. I just feel like I've been cool. It's not worked.
I think there's obviously a correlation between physical and I don't want to say excellence, but there's a correlation between wrestling,
mm-hmm.
bodybuilding,
mm-hmm.
Hollywood,
yeah,
and being really, really good at making a lot of money.
Yes. Yeah, well, and The Rock talked about this in a bunch of things, and I know people that have worked with him or worked with John Cena on stuff through people I know in LA, and they've all said that they are the hardest working actors on the set. They're there on time, they know their lines. Because that's what in wrestling, like you're constantly traveling, you get your notes on what you're doing on the day, you have to learn it then and there, you have to take care of someone else's health and safety while you're responsible for another human. You're also responsible for this fast-paced storyline.
Is it choreographed?
Things change. It's not choreographed for the most part.
Oh, you should see her face.
No, it's because that's the question that gets asked all the time. It's scripted. Yes, right. The storylines are scripted. But the actual matches themselves are very, very rarely ever choreographed. If there's a specific spot or there's one thing that's very difficult or high risk or something, maybe they'll like try it out. But for the most part, it's called the spots. But the big moments, the beats of the match are predetermined. But then the rest of it, they call on the fly for the most part.
That's really. I never really understood how it works.
Well, that's what I find so fascinating about it. You have to be such an athlete to be able to do it. And you have to be so quick, because usually the heel, who's the bad guy, calls the match during the match.
I've just heard about this. I was listening to Dwayne.
Yes.
I call him Dwayne.
You would.
On Oprah's podcast on the way here.
Yeah. And he was pretty much, I mean, he was a great heel, but he was a bigger baby face.
So heel's bad guy?
Yes.
And baby faces?
Good guy. So heel or face.
Oh, fine. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
the kind of stuff of it that's so fascinating, of like that the heel usually calls the match, unless it's like a big celebrity wrestler, sort of. If it's someone of very high stature, they'll take the reins and call it. Like, there's a very clear hierarchy in the industry. It's very, very respectful. It's fascinating. The politics of it is fascinating. This. It's a whole world, yeah.
I remember one of my friends at school, I used to go and do sleepovers, and we must have been talking 12, 13. She had older brothers, and they were massively into wrestling, but it was WWF then, right?
Yes, it's the same company.
Yeah, and it was Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's so I was like, yeah, that looks like fun. I didn't like The Undertaker because he was a bad guy. He was a heel, obviously.
Oh, but he's so great, though.
I don't know. I wonder what he looks like out of... Does he look exactly the same? I can show you.
Yeah, well, he just sort of looks like he's a Christian biker, kind of.
Oh! Yeah. Sons of Anarchy, Mark. But a bit more disciplined.
Yeah, with, like, a new hip.
So will one of your books, because let's not forget that you have a book out.
I've got a book. I mentioned the book and then failed to mention the book. It was pretty impressive.
Well, all we need to know is that you need to read the book, because obviously when I did my 26 habits and I got back into the habit of
reading,
reading books, I read One in a Million and it's excellent. Thanks. And everyone should read it.
Thank you. I've heard that.
And I've had a few, who was it on? I think again in the Facebook group, people saying, anyone recommend any summer reads?
Yeah.
I want to get back into reading, and I've recommended it so many times, and people are like, oh my god, I'm now like racing through the iHeart series.
Oh, that's so nice.
Well, I'm still
makes me happy when they make people happy.
I am still embarrassed about the time I sent you a text message from the bath saying, I'm in the bath reading I Love Paris.
I'll take it. I mean, I don't care where you read it. Read away, people. Read
I'm
away.
Sorry that I got the name of it wrong.
Just don't like... No, it's fine. It's not the first time. Just like, don't pirate it. That'd be amazing. Get it from your library.
I shouldn't photocopy it and stand and hand it out at Oxford Circus.
I mean, that's a sampling exercise. So as long as you don't do the whole thing, that would be great, probably. It's all about recruiting new readers. But no, it makes me really, really happy to do something that makes people happy.
Do you, because actually, and this is talking about your books and Aaron, you have often said, and I asked you the last time you were on the show, you've often said that it's a surprise to people how not autobiographical they are.
Yes.
And I must admit, as somebody who has sat down to write before, and people do say, write what you know.
Yep.
I cannot sit down and try to write without making it autobiographical. Mm-hmm. And there are two sides to every story, and then there's a truth. So I don't ever want, and I think that's a quote from Lisa Vanderpump.
Queen.
But for that reason, I would never want to write something like set in a magazine office.
Okay.
Because it would be my version of events, and that wouldn't be the truth. That would be my interpretation of the situation.
I mean, your version of events and your truth is valid. Mm-hmm. Never forget that.
Thanks,
your
man.
Truth is valid. Spent a lot of money on therapy to be able to tell you that. So when I wrote my first book, I was with my ex. I was in my job I wasn't especially happy with, and I was pretty miserable. I was in a lot of debt from just standard graduate loan debt in a low-paying industry. Wasn't having the best of times. And it was my Anywhere But Here fantasy. And I think people get confused because I then moved to New York, so obviously, of course, you would assume that it's then a book based on what I did. Why would you not assume that? But it actually, I wrote it over a year before the job offer came up, and then weirdly it published sort of 2-3 weeks before I moved to New York. Which was so weird. Yeah, it was really weird.
You created your own reality.
Yeah, I manifested that shit. But yeah,
and
it
you
was,
say it like you believe it,
right?
I manifested that
shit. But that was it for me, and I think that's also a very powerful tool if you're trying to write something and you don't want to write where you are, especially if you're not especially happy with where you are, which is what I was. So where would you rather be? What would you have? And if you can feel it that strongly, and I could, like, so deeply didn't want to be in my situation that it was very, very, not easy, but clear to me what I would write as sort of a fantasy life version of myself. And that was I Heart New York. And then once I'd done one, the characters were just alive and it was real. And then for each standalone after that, it was very much like, what do I want to read? What do I want to be, read, have now? Like, that's what I do when I write. It's just trying to tell a real story that's not real. But I want it to feel real. I want it to
feel
genuine and like something that's relatable that's happened to me or happening to my friends. And even if they spiral off into shenanigans, like, they're always grounded in, like, this is a real thing.
Yeah. They're so... And, okay, I've thought about it. Am I just being biased because you're my friend? But I've read other friends... Or I've consumed my other friends' stuff before and I haven't really understood it. But I, like... Maybe because we use very similar vocabulary and have very similar cultural references. Like you, me and Nadine just have to reference one scene. Like we were talking earlier and I said something and Lindsay just goes, it's not about the pasta. And if you watch Vanderpump Rules, you'll know how that may basically made that conversation very efficient and very short. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why, but I find them absolutely delightful to read. I love
your
books.
Oh my god, thank you.
I have them all. Write more.
Oh my god, I'm like totally writing more.
And then come and live in my building that I live in.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay.
I mean, I have to pack my suitcase. That's going to take a minute. But okay.
I just think it would be really fun. And then we'll get the reality.
We'll be like friends. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, we'll get the reality show. We'll get Andy Cohen to buy into it. And we'll be like, we are so entertaining. You are going to be in for...
Who wouldn't want to watch a camera just sat watching us talk about telly?
And, talk about telly and then sit in silence watching Teen Mom.
It'd be like Gogglebox, but not.
Let's do these last six episodes of Teen Wolf. Let's get to the finale. That's owe it to Lydia.
That's season two.
Yeah, let's...
Powering through for Lydia. That's the subtitle.
Oh, yeah. I would power through for her because, A, she's got amazing lips. She's so beautiful. You've seen her in the flesh as well.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
And you said what so many people say about celebrities when they see them in the flesh, which is, oh, my God, she's tiny.
She was tiny and she had no voice and... she had to have a notepad which she was like writing things down to people because she literally wasn't allowed to speak. She had no voice. I felt so sorry for her and I don't know her in the slightest, so I really want to give her a hug. Well, I mean, I assumed it was related. I assumed it was a banshee-related injury, but I mean, I don't know.
Her insurance premium at Teen Wolf was massive.
I know, I was like, you want to bring that down. You want to bring that down an octave or two, Lids. I didn't say that because it's not real.
Lids.
Old Lids. Lydia.
What's her real name?
Helen Roden. Roden?
And she's really good friends with Colton Haynes, who just disappeared.
Well, but now he's like famous on the internet. And
yeah, and he's been I think he was a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, which makes him royalty.
He's been on something else recently as well, and I can't remember what it is, and I feel really bad, but he has been on something recently, I can't remember what it is.
Also, you said about becoming really good friends with Jameela Jamil, which I think we should make happen.
Yes.
I saw her
on the vision board.
She was at a big Elizabeth Arden party about 7 years ago in London that I was at, and I forget where it was, but it was basically like a summer party in the afternoon, evening, and they had like blackjack tables and roulette tables and stuff like that, and I stood next to her at a roulette table and was like, she's tall, she's pretty, I should go and talk to her, I shan't. She's tall, she's pretty, she won't like me.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, that's the process I get when I see a tall, pretty person, so I was very impressed.
And now I'm regretting it, because I feel like...
You could be best mates now. You could have been like, oh, I'll just WhatsApp her and tell her to hang out with you.
Yeah.
And you can't though now.
No, I miss my chance. So any time I see anyone now, I just make friends with them and give them my card.
Good call.
And enter into the contract of
and
marriage.
And on the back of it says, I will marry you. Wait, nudge, nudge.
But I should come out to LA because I feel like we do need to do a tour of celebrity mansions.
Yes.
And I now need to come to New Orleans with you too.
Yes. And also TomTom has opened. I have it on good authority that Lisa Vanderpump's new bar... managed by the two Toms.
Tom Sandoval and Tom
Schwartz. Schwartzy. It's open. Poor Schwartz. So we need to do the Vanderbilt triangle of Sir, Pump, Tom.
Are they close to each other?
Sir and Pump are like on the same street. I believe Tom is as well. I'm not sure. Well, technically it's on the next street, but it's on the corner.
Okay.
Sir's on Robertson and Pump's on Santa Monica?
Santa Monica Boulevard?
Yeah.
I think I went there once.
In West Hollywood, it's affectionately known as South Philadelphia. It's affectionately known as Boys Town, in the area where Pump is.
With a Z?
I don't know. I don't think it needs to be that. It's just
you said it like it was a Z. Boys
hella
Town.
Hella gay in the best possible way.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Oh, definitely. I'll be down there in a heartbeat.
Yeah. It's a magical time.
Okay. We're on our way there.
Yep. Break for Hollywood. La, 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 la.
We are going to do that. So we've got holidays to plan.
Yes.
As long as the crocodile density is within.
I feel like we need to patent that right now.
That could be its own.
When you see the new Glam Glow crocodile skin, crocodile tears neck cream, I want you guys to know where you heard it first.
Yeah. Also, reptiles. I know they're not reptiles, are they? Oh no, what are they?
They are.
Oh, no,
aren't they? I don't know. Are they something special? Oh god, no. I feel like
it's like whales being mammals.
Yeah, they are though.
They are dinosaurs technically, though.
I believe their classification is dinosaur.
But reptiles are getting everywhere.
Amphibian?
I believe.
Can they breathe underwater? I don't know enough about this creature that I hate. That's the problem.
Ignorance is bliss in the case of crocodiles.
Yeah.
But my mother was gardening yesterday, in fact.
Crocodile
and,
got her.
Well, lived in the same house since I was a couple of months old. Mm. And my mother cannot stand snakes. She saw a snake in the garden and she just sent a text on the family group message saying, we're selling the house.
Did you plant the snake?
No, I didn't.
Was it for lols? Did you think, I know,
no, it wouldn't be for lols. It wouldn't be for lols. I'm not a big fan of them either.
No, because it's so hot, probably. They're grass. Is it just a grass?
They're looking for water. Great. I live downstairs. Yeah. When I live there, mine's downstairs and I've got the downstairs bathroom. Fantastic.
Be in your toilet.
Don't, Lindsay.
Hi, Anna. Poking his little head off, his little snaky head. I don't mind snakes, so I'm okay.
It's great. Well, you use my bathroom then. They do get alligators. All right. Do you believe that there are alligators in the sewage system in New York?
Yes. Yeah.
Because you have proof?
Crocodiles, I don't know. Having lived in New York and seen the monstrous things that occur in that city, I just have no question that someone would have chucked a baby alligator or a baby crocodile down a toilet at some point, and that's where it lives now. I'm just not surprised. My aunt used to live in Texas, and they lived in a gated community. My uncle was in the airport, so they put them up.
That's my dream. I'm just jealous.
It was all around a lake, a man-made lake. And firstly, it was hilarious because they had not done a very good job of building the lake. So they were damming it to fill it and building it while they were filling it, which was not smart. And then the dam bust. So when it's hot, the water level sinks and you can see the tops of JCBs and diggers because it just flooded it. And they were like, we can't be asked to get them out, leave them in. But apparently there's also crocodiles. I think it's crocodiles, not alligators, but there's one or the other in this lake. And it's a man-made lake. It's a man-made lake, so
no,
which
I understand the confusion.
Put a crocodile or an alligator in this lake.
We also would have had to have put more than one because they're not asexual, are they?
No, I don't know. I don't know what the dealio is, or maybe it's just one and they just keep feeding it. It's the same one.
I now need to Google so much about crocodiles. First of all, crocodiles and alligators cohabit?
Oh, I don't know.
Secondly, what is the fundamental difference?
Yeah, are they neighbours and friends, or are they, you know, it's like polar bears
and
penguins?
Is it true that if you want to run away from them, you run away in a zigzag line, or is that just?
I just
is that
feel
propaganda
like
that's come from crocodiles?
Gone. My science teacher did tell us in Doncaster in the 1990s that if you ever come face to face with one, you've got to sit on its head because the muscles that it uses for opening its mouth are really weak. It's because it snaps very quickly.
So it's the closing muscle.
Yes,
that's
because that's part of its jam.
Like pit bulls.
Yeah. So if you just sit on its head, it won't be able to open its mouth. And no. I have seen on telly, on Total Divas or Total Bellas, I'm not sure which it was, which WWE related reality show it was, but they were walking a dog in Florida, and there's just a band that rides around Florida, like picking them up from the side of the road. People call in and they're like, "Oh, I'll send one on the road," and they have to go and get it, and they just like duct tape their mouth together. And Jeffrey, the Uber driver, told me you can just use an elastic band too. They're that weak. Anything you do to close their mouth, they just can't open it.
So many questions now.
Yeah.
I'm so
glad we've come full circle.
I feel like I'm going to have to actually get a crocodile expert on the show.
Let's.
Oh, you'd have to be on that.
I would just be sat cowering
Fly
in
back.
A corner.
Yeah. Fly back. Yeah, no, I do want to, again, I will hire a drone and just fund it until it captures a giant anaconda having a fight with a crocodile. Having a fight with a giant crocodile that is so big that
it's about to expire.
I want real life shark Anna Dial.
Yeah, Anna Dial. I'd watch Anna Dial.
Croconunda.
Anna Gator. I mean, I watch any of these.
Yeah. I think what we've learned from this podcast is that we're now going to make our millions creating
sci-fi already. That noise at the door is Sci-Fi Channel knocking our door down, begging for the IP rights.
We've got intel that you are going to bring Croconunda. Yeah, it's going to be. Oh, I could do the theme music as well.
It
lends itself to a salsa beat. Right. We're going to go and do karaoke with Nadine Baggett for her birthday.
Poor
and,
Nadine.
She'll be like, have you two been drinking? And then she'll bollock us for like not using the right skincare. But in a very loving way.
Mm-hmm.
Which I will take on the chin. She's been away for ages, so I haven't seen her for about a fortnight. Lindsay, thank you so much for flying over from LA, especially to do the Emma Gunn show.
Thank you so much for having me, Emma Gunn show.
I am delighted and we'll have you back in a heartbeat.
Yay!
With the crocodile.
Thank you so much for listening to that conversation with Lindsay and I. I hope you enjoyed it. We had so much fun recording it. We were in the middle of a heat wave, as I said. If you aren't already, why not subscribe to the show? Just go to wherever it is that you have listened to or downloaded this particular episode and click that subscribe button. It just means that the show will pop up on your tablet device or whatever it is that you might be using as soon as a new episode goes live. Takes the legwork out of it for you. And if you do feel so inclined, I'd be delighted if you could leave a 5-star rating and a short little review about what you like about the episode. And one of my favourite things is to hear from you. So if you would like to get in touch, please do drop me a line at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com or slide into my DMs on Instagram or Twitter, where I'm at Emma Guns. That's at EMMAGUNS. See you on the next one.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.